Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, it took a lot of convincing, but we convinced him to stick around and join us for our statewide radio show here. John Jackson, the Joker from X. Good to see you, John. Thanks for being in studio with us here. 1 week later, it still feels good, doesn't it?
Oh, still on a high. Still absolute high. And the future's so bright, Aaron, we got to wear shades around here.
Well, you know, that's what I was thinking. That's one thing we could maybe talk about this hour of the show is it's time to dream big, America. It's time to dream big, Montana. What do we really need to get done? What can we finally do to clean up Washington, D.C.? What can we do to clean up the federal bureaucracy, not just drain the swamp, but just bring about some much-needed reform here at the federal level in particular? But before we get to that and more, John, you'll appreciate this. I think you'll appreciate this. So, Evan Wilson, good friend of mine, Evan Wilson, I call him like the Montana numbers man, although he knows numbers all across the country, but he especially knows the numbers here in Montana. He's the reason why at 10:15 p.m. last Tuesday, I went on Twitter and said, guys, Donald Trump's going to be the next president of the United States. It's over in Pennsylvania, because Evan was the one showing me the numbers. So this was really funny. The week before Election Day, one of these liberal news outlets, the Montana Free Press, one of these liberal news outlets wrote this big story about how my friend Evan Wilson was predicting that there would be 498,000 absentee ballots cast in Montana's 2024 elections. So this liberal news outfit, the week before the election, says, basically, they try to throw shade on Evan Wilson and say, well, with 1 week left to go before the election, the numbers are far below Evan Wilson's predictions. Well, guess how many absentee ballots actually came in by the election deadline? 494,000. He was off by what? 4,000 votes. He got it close. Nearly 500,000 absentee ballots, and he was off by like 4,000 is all. I don't know if that liberal news outlet has done an update to that story yet.
Yeah. Ask yourself, who funds these hack sites? Because you see them everywhere, and you're like, okay, these are people that got fired from the newspapers and the TV stations and all these other places, and all of a sudden they've got some site to be putting out all these liberal talking points. Who funds them? I wonder.
Well, some of them have openly acknowledged who is funding them. It's the very same left-wing mega donors that funded these left-wing ballot initiatives here in Montana, for example, or fund these left-wing politicians or these left-wing campaigns or fund these radical environmental groups.
In other words, it's fake news. It's not real news. It is advocacy BS.
You know, John, you and I have been talking. Some of the national media is having a reckoning. They're saying, hey, we got it wrong. We were wrong. You notice the Montana media isn't having a reckoning of their own when they got it so wrong, and they went all in with their biased coverage. All right, we'll talk about that more after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, great to see the great Paul Mushaven. He just popped in to BS with us during that quick break there. John, wasn't that interesting what Paul Mushaven just shared? He's on the country station in Billings, but he said, look, if you just look at the counties in the listening area for the Billings radio station alone, you know, you got, of course, Yellowstone County, you got the other neighboring counties around it. He tallied up the numbers. He's like, just the Billings area audience alone delivered enough votes to put Tim Sheehy over the top over Liberal Senator John Tester here in Montana. But, of course, he did well across the state. But that's kind of interesting, isn't it?
And take it the next step. all of those people, what radio do they listen to? They listen to Montana Talks.
And, well, and of course, you know, the country station down the hall, just like, you know, just like across the state, people want a little blend. They like to catch their Montana Talks and talk radio, but then they also want to hear some great music. They want to hear the local football team play and the local volleyball team, too. And that's what radio continues to deliver. We were talking about how, I mean, the Montana media, this was the worst political coverage I have ever seen out of all the elections I've been able to watch here in Montana. This was the worst political coverage ever by the Montana media. The news, you know, most of the major statewide newspapers, the Lee newspapers, the Montana television network was absolutely shameful with the way they would never ask John Tester a tough question, but they would run with these fake news attacks against Tim Sheehy. But then the so-called nonstop local TV stations were just as bad. And so isn't it interesting how the national media, even like Morning Joe Scarborough and Al Sharpton of all people, Joe Scarborough and Al Sharpton sounded like they were you and me having a conversation, because they were mocking how the Democrats have become just the white liberal elites pushing the transgender stuff, everything. I mean, I thought it was like you and me talking instead of Al Sharpton and Joe Scarborough.
Here these guys are, Scarborough and Sharpton, now pretending they understand the common man, and oh my gosh, how did this happen? I mean, these are the arsonists. Now, the next day, wondering how that fire got started. Gee whiz, who started this fire? How did this happen? Both of those guys are 100% the culprits of all of it.
With the Coleman camping lighter in their left hand.
Oh, my God. The gall of these people to sit back and say, look what this party has become. How did this happen?
But what's interesting is, like, even Van Jones. I mean, Van Jones was on CNN, you know, saying, yeah, everybody I know is miserable. This was a massive failure. But yet, the Montana media, they're not having a reckoning of their own. They're just moving on and acting like nothing ever happened. Like nothing happened. They're just on to the next thing now.
Well, it's like you and I talked at the break. Why does that happen? Why do they just get to move on, never say oops, never say sorry, nah, we messed up? It's because there's never any consequences. Because their bosses, they did what their bosses told them to do. It's Democrat advocacy. So, hey, good job, fellas. Here we go. Whereas you and I would get fired for stuff like that because we fail, and we fail miserably, and we're crooked, corrupt hacks.
Or people would just stop listening because it'd be like, those guys were completely full of it. I want to talk Montana legislature, because today, you know, there's been a lot of attention about the leadership and the potential leadership in the United States Senate. But right now in the Montana legislature, both parties are having their caucus meetings where they will select their party's leaders for the upcoming legislative session starting in January. So I want to mention who some of those names are. Plus, I want to get to your phone calls. Marilyn in Lolo is going to be our first caller of the show here. But first, you got some breaking news regarding Trump and that corrupt Judge Marchand out of New York City.
Yeah, got this tip from our girl at Patriot Girl on Twitter. And the New York judge grants Trump's request to pause court deadlines and sentencing. And apparently this pause is to look at the Trump team's request as to how the sentencing in this case will affect his presidency. In other words, this is a fallback and get ready. They're just going to go ahead and dismiss this case. You watch.
Very interesting. Well, and again, this ties in with this theme of there's a reckoning. There's about to be a reckoning. You know, there's already a reckoning taking place because, you know, they know that Trump is about to become president. So some of these folks around the world are starting to get their act together, knowing that Donald J. Trump and the sheriff is coming back to town. But this whole idea of a reckoning, even the Biden Justice Department is saying, okay, and they're pulling back on this political persecution against Donald Trump. It looks like even this corrupt Judge Marchand is pulling back on this lawfare against Trump in New York City. Where is the Montana Supreme Court? Montana just sent a massive message 1 week ago. Even the Biden Justice Department is pulling back this lawfare against President Trump. Why aren't they pulling back on the lawfare being directed against Attorney General Austin Knutson? That should have been like a day two announcement, is that this whole lawfare political persecution against Attorney General Austin Knutson would be shelved, would be scrapped altogether. But like the Montana media, they don't want to have a reckoning either.
Well, and see, it would appear to the untrained eye that these Democrats are backing off of this because it's the right thing to do. Well, that is not what they're doing. They're backing off of this because the boulder is coming down the mountain at them, the Trump boulder, and come January, it's going to smash them flat. And they know that. That's why they are backing off this. Whereas the Montana State Supreme Court, there's not a boulder coming after them. So they're like, screw you guys.
All right. Well, like I said, we got Marilyn and Lolo first up on the phone lines. We'll get to Marilyn right after this. And then we've got Kyle and Kyla on the phone lines as well. Plus, you can call in. You can get in the queue right now, 406-294-0970, or you can send us a message on the Montana Talks app if you want to jump in on the conversation as well. Back right after this with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
I've been able to live my normal lifestyle, and I've lost 20 pounds already. Changed my life.
I wasn't expecting it to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, into the phone lines we go. Marilyn and Lolo, thanks for the phone call. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning. So we're all celebrating that the Marxist Islamists did not win. I'm happy about that also. But, you know, there's a group out there, a voice that nobody can hear, the preborn. I mean, I found out that 10 states had abortion on the ballot. 7 states voted to murder the babies, including Montana. And you talk about a reckoning, Aaron. Yeah, are we going to ever consider that there's a God in the heavens that created these children made in his image? Had a plan and a purpose for their life, and we're voting to slaughter them? I mean, if only they had a vote, if only they could do a commercial and speak and share what life they'd like to live and what they'd like to give to our society. It's just appalling to me, and I've heard everybody celebrating, and not good, no, I'm celebrating also, very much so. But even Trump was wanting to, he said 16 weeks, and by then, over 95% of the babies are murdered. So we've got a lot of work to do. This is a spiritual problem, and it will end up affecting our nation in the long run if we don't get our crap together. There's already over 63 million babies whose voices are crying out for vengeance from the ground. If you read your Bible, there's a ton in there about innocent blood and the vengeance that God will eventually get on us.
Yeah, you know, my reaction when, you know, tragically, I think, given the huge amount of money that came in backing CI 128, unfortunately, I think a lot of us expected that one to get across the finish line. My reaction, you know, in seeing the passage of CI 128 was, you know, I hope the response is forgive them, for they know not what they have done. because there was so much money that came in to run a deceptive campaign backing CI-128. I think a lot of people, it was confusing language. It was deliberately written. It was deliberately deceptively written language. You remember, first off, the Montana Family Foundation and others worked to keep that deceptive language off the ballot in the first place. The left-wing Montana Supreme Court deliberately dictated what the language would be on the ballot because they wanted to deceive the voters into thinking they were passing something that they actually weren't. John, yeah, you know, when it comes to CI-128, first off, I know the Montana Family Foundation, I was at their banquet last week, they do believe that a challenge will come to CI-128. I spoke with Rob Nadelson before the election, when we had Rob Nadelson, a former University of Montana constitutional law professor, on this show. And even back then, he said that this thing could be challenged on a couple of different grounds. One of those grounds is the fact that if you have a ballot initiative, it can only address one thing. It can't address multiple things. That's why CI-126 and CI-127 were two separate ballot initiatives. Thankfully, those that went down in defeat, that was going to try to put ranked choice voting across the finish line here in Montana. But they broke those two separate because they dealt with two separate things. CI-128 really did affect multiple things, but they did it in one initiative. So that could be a legal grounds for challenging and potentially overturning CI-128, this radical abortion initiative. The second thing is CI-128, whether people realized it when they voted for it or not, effectively stripped away any parental rights whatsoever, and not just with regard to the issue of abortion. So that could have some federal challenges on that front. Anyway, your thoughts, John, and Marilyn, thanks for the call.
You remember when Kimberly Strassel was in here, we talked about this. And see, this is the communist end run around our government. Because, see, our government is set up as a representative republic in which we elect legislators and a governor, and that's how laws are passed and decided. So what do? They send in millions of dollars to these states, not just Montana, to then get their phony, fake operatives to get all these people, the gullible people, to sign these petitions, then just get it put on the ballot. And what do we have now? We have pure mob rule. 51% of people say they want a certain thing and they get it. This has got to come to an end, okay? Our legislature here in Montana has got to put an end to outer state money coming in here to put initiatives on our ballots.
Not just out-of-state money, foreign money.
Yeah.
Foreigners can't give to political campaigns. Foreigners can give to ballot initiatives. Hans-Jörg Wyss was one of the donors to CI-128. Why would a Swiss billionaire, who's a funder for all these radical environmental groups and others, why would a Swiss billionaire be allowed to donate to a ballot initiative campaign all across the country, by the way? And so, yeah, I think there are grounds for challenging this, and I hope those efforts move forward, because I think there were people out there. I think most Montanans, and whether you agree with them or not, they will tell you in polling that they believe that it should be legal, but that there should be a line drawn somewhere, that we shouldn't have, you know, no limits abortion. I think people, when they read that ballot initiative, they thought that it would keep it legal, but also allow for a limit to be put in place when it effectively does away with any limits whatsoever. That's how deceptively it was written. Legislative leadership. I'll tell you the names that are being considered this morning. But first, let's go to Kyle and Kyla. Kyle, are you there? Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead. We got you.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I say amen to Marilyn. The reality is that we had a political awakening, but this state needs a moral awakening. So I agree with that. But I've got a couple of suggestions. The main reason I called, that would put Governor Gianforte in the history books, and this legislature. So here is my suggestions. Number one, we create a state bank. Because North Dakota has so much money from their state bank, they don't even know what to do with it. Burdell Jackson, years ago, I helped him, and he set up did all the paperwork. We had 365-page bill, and, of course, the Democratic governor shot it all down. But he was ready to put one in. And that would be one thing. We would increase the amount of money coming into the state because of fractional reserve banking, the way things are set up, that the state would be flush with cash forever. Number two, if you needed more cash, put in a small sales tax that requires 70% of the populace to vote on it before it can ever be raised, and get rid of state income tax and get rid of property taxes. There you would have a free group of people working, paying little less taxes, increasing the wealth of the state, making everybody that even is out of state have to pay something, and you get rid of the property tax and people actually own their property.
I'll tell you, when it comes to the property tax system, John, you know, we had the governor in yesterday, and this topic came up. And I fully agree that we need a comprehensive overhaul of our current property tax system. Regardless of what people think about the sales tax issue, we need to overhaul our property tax system. The problem in Helena is not enough revenue. The problem in Billings and in Missoula is not enough revenue. And so they're getting plenty of revenue, which is why they thankfully delivered over $1 billion in tax relief the last legislative session. We shouldn't be taxing people based off of the value of their home. We should be taxing people based off of the purchase price of their home, if you ask me, if at all.
You're hearing this all over the country, and you're hearing it in the reddest of red states, in the reddest of red counties across the country. You're hearing that because politicians know that any hikes to income taxes is just politically a non-starter. So they come at you, not only they come at you with these different ballot initiatives for the police and the hospitals and the schools and, you know, to save the children, and then they come at you with these property taxes. That's how they continue to raise your taxes without it being a raise to the income tax.
Yeah. Speaking of the legislature and legislative races, let's see. Mike Dennison shared this last night. A lot of great names being thrown out there, being considered right now as we speak. In fact, during the break, I'll need to go check X to see if any of the votes have been announced yet. But in the Montana House, Representative Brandon Lear, well, he says out of Sydney, but it's Brandon Lear out of Savage, is facing off against Representative Bill Mercer of Billings for GOP Speaker. A couple of great guys there. For Senate GOP President, Dennison is hearing that the race is thought to be too close to call. But three names, the current Senate President Jason Ellsworth out of Hamilton is being challenged by Senator Greg Hertz out of Polson, and former House, well, the current House Speaker and Senator-elect Matt Regeer out of Kalispell. So some great names up for consideration there in the state Senate as well.
I think we need to be pushing for Jody Etchart for Speaker. I think we need to be on that platform right now and pushing her for that position.
Well, it might be a little late to push her for that, but I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm going to do the little drill sergeant foot stomp here.
Tap, 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 tap.
I wouldn't be surprised if before the end of the hour, if we get the names of who got elected to leadership, if she's not listed there in some sort of a leadership position, whether it's a House whip or something like that. I'll bet you we see her name come out.
She's up and comer for sure.
Yeah. Yep. She's great. All right. Let's see. Willie in the Paradise Valley. Willie, stand by. You'll be first up right after the break. We'll get to you. Natalie in the Flathead. We lost her phone call, but Natalie, call back in because I definitely want to hear your thoughts on this conversation we're having here this morning. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. John, what do you got scribbled on your list of stuff to potentially talk about this morning?
Melania Trump and the not gonna go to the White House meeting with Jill.
Isn't that great? Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, if they rifled through your underwear drawer, well, you probably wouldn't care because, you know, you're John Jackson, the Joker from X.
I hand out free free works.
Oh, no. Yeah, the John underwear, right? Yeah, that's it. Okay, God, we got to take a break now.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Time is winding down with very few USDA crop production progress reports to share here in 2024. That's because most of planting and harvest is wrapped up. Winter replanting 95% complete as of Sunday, and driving out across the countryside, the emergence of next year's winter wheat crop looking great as well. 80% of that crop emerged. as of Sunday. Sugar beets continuing to hold a few points ahead of the five-year average, with 71% of sugar beet harvested completed. That's up from last week's 54%.
Join the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. NCBA is the oldest and largest national cattle industry organization working to defend your interests in Washington, D.C. And there are big benefits to being a member. You get news you can use in the National Cattlemen, email updates in the NCBA Beef Bulletin, plus big discounts only for NCBA members. Join by calling 866-233-3872 or online at ncba.org.
Topsoil moisture here in Montana is at 37%, very short, with 36% reported short and 27% adequate, while subsoil moisture coming in at 25% adequate. I'm Lee Nordlund.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. So, John, I just checked the Montana Politics hashtag on Twitter or X. Oh, somebody else just said it. Okay, didn't I just tell you like 60 seconds ago? According to my sources in Helena, Representative Brandon Lear out of Savage, Montana, was elected Speaker of the House of Representatives in Montana. I just said that about 60 seconds ago off air, right? Okay. John Riley with the Montana Television Network just sent out a tweet 43 seconds ago that Representative Brandon Lear is elected as the next Montana Speaker of the House. So there you go. That news just came across here this morning. But yeah, great guy. And then I joked with you, you know, now Tim and Savage is going to think that just because a neighbor in Savage got elected Speaker of the House, our Mondakistan bureau chief is going to be demanding a pay raise now, you know.
Well, with that pay raise is going to come more hours because he's going to have to be covering the Speaker on a daily basis. So if he wants a little bump, okay, but he's going to have to do more work.
That's right. Yeah, I know. You know, none of this like, hey, I'm just going to drive to Bozeman for the party stuff anyway.
Had to put in the hours.
Yeah. How do you give somebody a pay raise from zero? What's the boost there?
Well, he's got nowhere to go but up.
That's so, right. Nowhere. Yeah. We'll give him a title promotion instead. And we'll give him a big fancy title instead of a pay raise.
Dude, you've been saying for years I was going to be senior fellow. I have yet to get my senior fellow
well,
title.
Well, we've already got a senior fellow. That's Jeremy Carl, who actually is a senior fellow. It actually is his real world day job, I guess. So
I've seen him. I'm older than him. I'm senior to him. You know, he could be junior fellow. Okay?
Junior fellow. Yeah. Half pint fellow, something like that. Let's see. What else were we going to talk about? We were going to go to Willie in the Paradise Valley, but looks like we lost his phone call. Let's go next to Esther. Esther in Bozeman. Good to hear from you. What's on your mind, Esther?
Hey, I just wanted to pass on some observations I had when I spent 9 hours watching the poll in my local precinct and then another 5 hours watching the counting going on in the courthouse. And I don't think a lot of people realize that our districting plan has put a lot of city folks in with county folks. And they really don't have, they really do have a lot of differences. And what we were seeing at the precincts is they had to have anywhere from 4 to 5 ballots for just two precincts that we were voting at the Zoot Enterprises because the city had different issues on their ballot than the county did. And if any part of the county had a special improvement district, they had to have a different ballot. So you could have, for every precinct out there, at least 2 ballots if part of it was in the city as well as out in the county. So then you take those ballots to the courthouse and watching them count, that was such a slow process. We could have had it done way sooner by hand. Way sooner because they were running 4 machines, but only 1 at a time. So we were watching their 950 machine do some ballots. And getting the ballots ready to go into the machine was a process because they had to get them really flat and really straight. And they couldn't feed in any more than about 25 to 50 ballots at a time. And then about 10% of all those ballots got kicked out because the machine couldn't count them. So then you had table after table. We had 8 to 12 tables with 3 people each, a Democrat, a Republican, and an Independent, adjudicating those ballots. So you had a whole cadre of people, and they were very shorthanded
yeah.
for most of the next 2 or 3 days.
That's crazy when you describe that, because entire countries like France and Spain would have hand-counted paper ballots for an entire country before Gallatin County could even finish the process for Gallatin County.
Well, that's what I saw, and it was even worse because they had, if you think of the 40 precincts we had in Gallatin County with 1 or 2 programs for each precinct, they had to go to that machine and on their computer screen, they had to choose out of maybe 80 to 120 different programs to read the ballots.
Well, and then the biggest problem, too, that compounds all of this, and Esther, thanks for the call, and thanks for volunteering and taking part in the entire process. That is so important. But John, this is also another reminder. Why was Gallatin County people still standing in line at 2 o'clock in the morning? Yellowstone County people still standing in line at 2 o'clock in the morning. I was getting photos from the Metra at like 2:20 in the morning. Okay, there's like 7 more people. We're almost done, because they couldn't release the vote totals until the last person was done voting. And so, but once the Yellowstone County numbers came in, we knew that the hammer was going to drop, and that's when it was going to be obvious who the winner of the Senate race was, et cetera. But same day registration, it creates a nightmare. It creates a mess. And that's why people get stuck waiting in these long lines, because all these people, they couldn't register to vote 364 other days out of the year. They wait until the last minute, and everybody else has to, you know, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. Everybody gets the stupid prize of being stuck in line for several hours.
Yeah, you make me king of the world, Aaron, and we are going back to one day of voting a year. You show up at your polling place with your photo ID, and that's it. And the only people that get absentee ballots are actually our troops overseas, or if you can show that you are somehow handicapped somehow and are not mobile. Other than that, you have to go to your polling place with voter ID. If we had done that, you would have seen 400 electoral votes the other day for Donald Trump.
And it's funny because, again, going back to the Montana media, because they follow the Democrat Party line all the time with this propaganda, but the Republican-controlled legislature and a Republican governor, they got a bill passed. They followed the process, and they said, no, you've got to register to vote before Election Day. And then, of course, liberal judge says, I don't like that, throws it out, and the liberal media cheerleads them. And what do they argue? They argue, well, it's too hard for Native Americans and senior citizens to register to vote before Election Day. And I'm like, first off, that's racist because, oh, everybody else can register to vote before Election Day, but you're claiming that somehow Native Americans can't figure it out. Just like they'll claim that black people aren't smart enough to figure out how to get an ID card in order to vote. Like stop with the racist garbage once and for all, would you, right? But second off, okay, if you're Native American or a senior citizen, what would you rather to do? Go register to vote 364 days out of the year, or go be stuck in line until 2 in the morning on a Wednesday morning / Tuesday night?
Let's just drop all the Adam bullshit here, shall we? One time. We all know, everyone out there knows, that every single one of these voting things they try to do is to try to cheat, to try to manipulate the process. We all know it. Just say it out loud. And one time, de una buena vez, our Republicans need to push back on this at a national level.
We got a message on the Montana Talks app from Joe in Billings. Why don't we require 75% vote to amend our state constitution? That's a very great point. CI 128 passed with these ballot initiatives only need a simple majority. You amended our constitution with a simple majority. That's crazy. If the state legislature wants to amend our Constitution, they have to get a supermajority. The same should be required with ballot initiatives. Frankly, John, I think if they're ever going to raise our taxes, they should be required to get a supermajority before they come in by force and take money out of our pockets, too. They should have to get a supermajority.
Ballot initiatives, like we said a minute ago, that's mobocracy. It's what that, all it is, it's the rule of the mob, and they're doing it all over the country. Now, one of our followers down in Arizona said there was like in the teens, there's like 15 ballot initiatives on her ballot down there. That's what they're doing. They are circumventing the whole process of our elected government and going right to the rule of the mob.
We got Frank in Evergreen next up on the phone lines, and phone lines open for you right now as well. Frank, what's on your mind?
Hi. Yeah, I noticed in Ireland when I was there last month, there was price of fuel was $7 for a U.S. gallon over there. I mean, when it's that high, you'd think the economy is really doing good. No. And high prices, you don't have a big war machine to pay for either. But all I see is poverty over there, and most of the people want to leave Ireland and come to America because they cannot stand the socialization that's going on over there. They're getting priced out of living. There's just so many loopholes there that you can't get ahead at all.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I've heard that before about Ireland and their politics. Like most of us would think of the Irish, the fighting Irish. Oh, yeah. And it's like, you know, we had a General Thomas Francis Marr and the Irish Brigade. We think of like freedom fighters. And it's like, no, Ireland has been stuck with socialistic policies, Green New Deal policies, and like much of Europe, it's just turned into an outright train wreck and disaster. All right, Frank, good to hear from you. We got phone lines open right now, 406-294-0970. Back right after this.
Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, now, John, this is pretty funny. First off, I heard from Tim in Savage. He's going to step up his game now. Now that the Speaker of the Montana House is from Savage, Tim in Savage, he's going to step up his game. He's going to put in some more work for us here on the show. But he made a good point here. You know, this is now a positive phrase. You can now positively say it with us, let's go, Brandon. Yeah, because you've got a Speaker of the House named Brandon here in Montana. Wendy in Bozeman says, 9 hours in line in Gallatin County. Can you imagine spending 9 hours in line? That's what this same-day registration mess that they forced on us is causing. A listener in Malta made a good point here. Zoe Zephyr has been reelected in Missoula. Big shocker there, right? So guess who is going to be raising Cain in the Capitol again? Oh, boy, here we go. Again, back to this whole reckoning. The National Democrats. One of the things Joe Scarborough and Al Sharpton were talking about on MSNBC is like, look, this whole transgender thing, it's these elitist white liberals that keep pushing this. Al Sharpton said it's these latte liberals that keep pushing this. So Some of them at the national level have recognized in their reckoning that, like, they should stop pushing this transgender stuff. The Montana Democrats, you watch, there is no reckoning on their part whatsoever. They're going to double down on the crazy elite white liberal stuff.
Oh, and it's because it's what gets them attention. And I called that a year ago, 2 years ago. You watch there, our boy Zoe Zephyr is going to take his first opportunity. It'll be tactical to create some kind of disturbance, because what he wants is to get sanctioned by the legislature. But what they need to do is take it all the way. Now, you know, they're going to have to do censure, and then they need to expel his bratty ass. Kick him out. I mean, flat kick him out of there. Expel him from the chamber. They're going to have to do that. You watch. It's coming again, just like it did 2 years ago.
Frank in the Flathead sent us a message regarding CI-128. The abortion industry now has an anchor point in Montana. They will pour millions of dollars into our state to elect leftist Democrats. We need to rally with all of our abilities and pray we stop them. That's from Frank in the Flathead. Let's go next to Aaron in Valier. Aaron, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Technology and schools, infrastructure. I was in Williston 2012, and infrastructure was not there. We had to haul in trailers for increased population, students. The infrastructure was not there. Well, being an electrician, I've lit up a bunch of schools, fire systems, alarm systems, tying things together, building infrastructure for the boom. Well, Montana is growing. These areas are growing, and Washington has no answers. Technology. Protecting our schools.
Good point.
Iraq. I took college classes. I had a high school deployment. I issued muffins and Gatorade my second tour.
Is your point like, hey, we need to build the infrastructure? We're lacking in infrastructure in Montana right now. Is that kind of your point?
Oh, definitely. In a lot of areas, everything from irrigation water to managing power, like Kerr Dam and Swift Waters. But roundabout, our schools, technology. Where are we starting?
Yeah, well, and then again, that's how do we pay for that? How do we pay for all that? John, that's why I think one of the most exciting things that's already starting to take shape here is, look, what pays for our schools? Why have some of our neighboring states had more money for schools and for roads and for infrastructure? Because they develop more of their natural resource industries. What have these federal judges been killing in the past few decades in Montana? Our natural resource industries. Thankfully, President Trump, we're going to see a halt put to this attack against Coal Strip. We're going to see a halt on these. Well, we still got to deal with these federal judges here. But yeah, again, how do we pay for all this infrastructure? Great point. But we do that through our natural resource industries.
As you and I have been talking about for years now, is that is the last remaining threat here in Montana, are these hacks wearing robes. And that's why everybody, every time you go to the polls, you have got to know who those judges are. And I'm hoping maybe our legislature this time can now make judicial races partisan.
And judicial reform a top priority.
And we can one time just go ahead, because you know every Republican on the ballot, every judge would have won if they had been partisan.
If they had an R behind their name.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so. Matt in the Flathead Valley, we've got less than a minute to go. What's on your mind?
It's on the oil and gas conversations you have had. My belief is that the gasoline in Montana, specifically Flathead Valley, is dropping. We're below $3 a gallon now for unleaded regular. And this is a long-term Democratic ploy to use in next election to say, well, hey, our gas prices are down, even though today's crude oil prices are at $72.
Oh, it's interesting. So, yeah, so they lowered right before the election. They'll try to use it down the road, but you watch as Trump opens up American energy in a big way, right? Oh, yeah, great point.